Sugar, sugar, sugar butter, sugar butter, sugar butter flour, sugar butter flour, sugar butter flour, sugar butter flour.
What's inside? My apartment? Why, it's me, Jay, and Alex talking about the 2016 musical Waitress.
And a pie.
And we're eating pie to commemorate the event.
Well, to be fair, it's cookie with a crust.
Yeah, it's pie, you know, with giant quotes around it.
Yeah, we'll let our Broadway baby explain his Broadway baby pie.
Well, I tried to make a much more interesting Broadway baby pie, but I did not read a recipe. I just went down with the recipe baked from the heart.
How'd that go?
Terrible?
Oh, no.
And it was a fraught weekend. I may have cried a little. Who's to say? But I then went for the much easier pie, which is just cookie and a pie crust.
Perfect. Then this week on Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer into full-out fangirl, we are going to tackle the show that started it all, Waitress.
Tackle it good.
Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Kimberly Schmidt.
I'm your Broadway baby, Alex Fasella.
And I'm your resident worm farmer.
Cool.
Jay Schmidt.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, international worm farmer.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get into it for the fame, you know?
Love of the game.
Yeah. There could be international intrigue if I wanted to play that game, but...
Well, as we know, it's a dangerously fraught political world, worm farming.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just assassinations.
Oh, yeah.
How long are we going to do this?
We can do it forever.
I don't know. I'm just going to keep eating pie while you guys do a bit. It's fun.
Yeah. I'm just realizing that I told you guys not to eat on mic, and now that's all I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also noticed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very cute.
It's more I was mentally chastising myself.
Ah.
But, and yet, here we are still eating.
Yep. So, before we get into Waitress and... why it spurned your love. Spurned? Spawned?
Spurred?
Spawned a love, spawned. Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, spawned your love of the musical theater that brought us here today. You had a request for a word of the week.
I did.
Which was?
Jukebox musical.
Jukebox musical. Which is a term that is a very simple definition, I'd say, but that has... Ooh, bless you.
Thank you.
But now has all sorts of different subsets and different types. So
I did not know that.
A jukebox musical just means that it is all the music. It is a musical made up of pre-existing songs.
Yeah.
Is that the easiest way to say that, Jay?
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Like, beautiful.
Or they're pre-existing songs that are put together with some kind of theme.
Yes. So it's not a song cycle or a... like, concert event.
Yeah. The theme could be all songs by one artist, or songs from a
that's what you mean.
A decade, or a generation, mm-hmm. or...
Because it sort of started as all songs from one band.
Okay.
But then, like, Rock of Ages was just 80s songs. Whichever ones I could get the rights to, pretty
much.
Well,
rock and roll, 80s rock songs. Oh. Hair metal, specifically.
Yeah, your Motley Crue's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your Twisted Sisters.
But basically, there's no original music in a jukebox musical.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Where had you heard the term?
I had heard it before just as I was looking up whatever shows I was looking up. But the reason I wanted to talk about it was because I saw Head Over Heels.
Which is a perfect example of a jukebox musical. Now, they do tend to be two different things. Like, Jersey Boys mm-hmm. is all the music of Jersey Boys, but it's also telling the story of...
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
I was just going to call them the Jersey Boys again.
That's kind of what... They were in Kinky Boots! That's kind of... Yeah.
They were in Jersey Boys.
The Jersey Boys. You mean Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons? Yeah, the Jersey Boys.
Yeah. Or, like, Beautiful is about Carole King.
Yeah.
But Head Over Heels is a completely new story to the songs of the Go-Go's. And I'm very excited to hear your thoughts, actually.
I really liked it.
Yay!
It needs to settle the fuck down just a little bit.
In what way?
In that there's so many songs that there are moments where I'm like, this doesn't need to be a song. It could just be like two lines of a scene. So the song feels overdone. But mostly I was really happy with it.
Well, they shoehorn in a couple.
There's some shoehornage.
Oh, yeah. Like, Vacation is like,
yeah.
Why is the why song is in the show? And I know it's a very popular, it's arguably their most popular song.
Definitely their most popular song.
I feel like they were like shoehorned it in a way that I was like, why didn't they just write the show around this song?
Correct.
If this show's that important, this song is that important.
And I get why Our Lips Are Sealed was the act one closer, because it's about people keeping secrets.
Yeah.
That makes perfect. Even like the opening being We Got the Beat, and they're like, the beat is the force in this universe. I'm like, okay.
I've had the cast members explain the beat to me, and it makes more sense the way they have it.
Is it supernatural? I can't tell.
Yeah,
I think it's just like their Christianity, essentially.
I actually kind of liked the show. I kind of liked Head Over Heels. I had a good time. But that was the one part where I was like, yeah, I'm out. I'm out. Don't make the beat something more than it is. Yeah,
the beat's like their way of doing things. Can't you just, like their laws and their...
Yeah, can't you just sing about the beat and not make it like more than it is? Yeah. Yep.
I feel that while that is a little forced... That sets up well that the joke of the show is, hey, this is all kind of forced. Like, it's charmingly forced. So I get that they're like, okay, this is we're going to show you how these lyrics are going to be crammed around these songs and still be fun. And you go, and you'll just go with it because it'll be fun enough that you go, all right, makes enough sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like the proper opening to set up that whole pattern.
Sure.
But it is a bit much because the show's a bit much. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's meant to be a bit much. It's loud and shiny.
It's very shiny.
Yeah, it's fun. It's also, interestingly, as a jukebox musical, if we're talking about it in that vein, that it does not follow the time period of the music.
Yes.
Like, it's not an 80s musical. It is a Elizabethan musical.
It's not about the Go-Go's. It's not about anyone in that time. It's just about something else.
Yep. It's about a vaguely Elizabethan society singing Go-Go's tunes.
And they talk about Zeus, so it's kind of every old-timey time period at once.
Yeah, so it's like, it's Shakespearean, but it's also mythology and, I don't know. There are not a lot of jukebox musicals that are taking the time period away from where the music happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Mamma Mia is now like present day, not the 80s, I guess.
Yeah.
But the whole bit is that the mom is stuck in the 80s and the 70s with her outfits.
I think we can agree, like, Mamma Mia is
the
like,
best one.
The first
one? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, best is a loose term.
Right. When did these become a thing?
So I think it is Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia and Jersey Boys were kind of the same.
I would have guessed
they were a few years apart.
I would have guessed older.
Let's see. First,
were they real? I could have sworn they were the same season when they came out.
They're at least like 6 or 7 years apart.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
I promise. I'll look it up for you.
Yeah, Mamma Mia is like the if jukebox musicals are xenomorphs, Mamma Mia is like the queen.
All right. So the Wikipedia entry for I don't know what he's talking about. The Wikipedia entry is claiming A Hard Day's Night as a jukebox musical.
The Beatles movie?
But it's a movie.
That means that Spice World is a jukebox musical.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say any of that.
Slash, when is that happening? I'd go see a Spice World
musical?
Spice World musical. In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In a second.
You don't even have to cast the original Spice Girls. You could totally cast that.
Oh, you know who started it? Buddy the Buddy Holly Story.
When was that?
1989.
Okay.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good show.
Yeah, and Always Patsy Cline was that the year before that. Leader of the Pack, that musical.
Oh, boy.
I love that song.
We love that song. Yeah, because it's sad.
I can't swipe.
I wonder how the Bob Dylan jukebox musical is going to be. Because it doesn't look like it has anything to do with him. But I don't know if it's going to contrast as much as maybe it's just, you know, the kind of people that would be in a Bob Dylan song just sort of like having a hard time.
Yeah, dude. Not sure. This is part of the lesson for jukebox musicals. If your Bob Dylan show that I'm sure you're excited about,
kind of,
it may not be good, pal.
Oh, I know. because they've already attempted it and it failed within a month.
Wait, really?
Not this one, but there was another one called The Times They Are A-Changin'. Closed
that
in a month.
That was Bob Dylan? I remember that. There was also Lennon, which was the songs of John Lennon, but like six people played John Lennon. Like,
no thanks.
Okay. My parents loved it, obviously.
Yeah,
but I think it like closed on opening. Yeah.
I don't know if the new one's gonna be good.
Oh yeah, so here's
I'm skeptically optimistic.
Yeah, just jukebox musicals when they hit really hard.
Mm-hmm. Do you want a list?
They don't always hit.
Yes, I do.
So here's a funny thing. There's like four in the 80s, maybe 10 in the 90s, and then the 2000s just scroll because Mamma Mia was 1999.
Oh wow.
And Jersey Boys wasn't until 2005.
Oh, I could have sworn they were the same.
But here's what was in between. Love, Janis.
Oh, yeah.
Janis Joplin.
Shout, The Legend of the Wild One. Don't know what that was. We Will Rock You opened in London, I think, in 2002.
It's still running in London, isn't it?
One of my... it might have just closed. I'm not sure. One of my favorite jukebox musicals, which is a completely different format than all of the others, Moving Out.
Oh,
yeah. Which is Billy Joel, and it's just a piano man up top with the band, and then it's a ballet.
Moving Out ain't a musical!
It's a ballet.
It's a ballet! Yeah.
A dream ballet?
Kind of, yeah. Oh, because they do Pressure? Is that song? Where she's, like, mourning the loss of her husband from Vietnam. Anyway, I loved Moving Out. It's a Twyla Tharp ballet.
Yeah, it's amazing, it's not really a musical.
Yeah, it's so good, though. Then The Boy from Oz. Then
that's a jukebox show?
What was that?
Boy from Oz? Yeah. Peter Allen.
I never even connected the dots.
Liza Minnelli is a character.
Huh.
Because that was her husband.
Yeah, I never even thought about it.
Yeah. A bunch of other ones. Lennon was 2005. Good Vibrations was 2005.
Yikes.
Oh yeah. All Shook Up was 2005.
That show's not bad.
Yeah.
It's like head over heels, and then it like takes it out of its own.
Well, it's also a Shakespearean plot.
Yeah.
It's basically Twelfth Night.
Yeah.
Then Jersey Boys. Then Dusty, the original pop diva.
As in Dusty Springfield?
Dusty Springfield, yeah. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert is various artists, but because it was based on the movie, which used actual songs.
Yeah, that show was actually pretty good.
Ring of Fire was 2006.
That show was actually, I like that show too.
Rock of Ages was 2006.
Yep.
Loved it. Oh, Xanadu, I guess, is a jukebox musical technically.
Yeah, it's ELO. It's actually.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Xanadu with Electric Light Orchestra actually really, I saw Xanadu. It really worked.
Really?
The only problem was that all the choreography was on roller skates. Yeah, it was bad. It was really tough.
Is the movie also ELO songs or is it just something else?
I believe so.
Yeah, the movie. Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, but it was actually. Yeah, it was.
And they
weren't
written for the movie. They might have been written for the movie. That's why it's tricky.
It was a little bit of both.
Then 2009 was Fela, which was the music of Fela Kuti. Which I saw. It was really cool. There was a fun dream sequence. They tried again with the ballet thing called Come Fly Away, which was Frank Sinatra music, and like four couples. It didn't work as well.
That sounds terrible.
No thanks.
American Idiot.
I don't know if I love that album, and I've been listening to it all week, but I remember the commercial came on the TV, and it was some guy with like, you wanna be an American? And I was
His name was John Gallagher Jr.
Yeah, and I was talking to my dad, and I was like, should I go to that? And he's like, no, you love the album, you're gonna come home sad, that looks bad.
Did you see it?
Was it any good?
Jaybird?
I'm afraid to listen to it, because I love that album so much.
I did not see it, but I also did very much not like that album.
Really?
Yeah, I adore
that album.
Yeah,
I wasn't a huge fan.
Green Day's downfall started with Warning for me. Warning had about like four good songs on it, and then it was from there on out, it's kind of hasn't been the same.
Huh.
Yeah.
I felt Dookie was good. The next two are fine. Warning is good, but forgettable. Then it gets better. Their new one is
okay. Oh, yeah. See, American, when they were like, oh, they're doing like a Green Day musical, it's like, awesome, cool. And they're like, oh,
I hope it's just come around.
Yeah, it's just all American Idiot. I was like, oh, I'm good.
Cool, I'm out.
Cool, neat. I don't need to go there.
I didn't love American Idiot when I saw it on Broadway.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know the album very well.
It's also got some chunks of the album right after that in it, too.
Oh, really?
From 21st Century Breakdown.
Oh, like, I didn't know the album very much at all.
Yeah.
But I knew like, there were, what, like, 16 people from Spring Awakening that just went right into American Idiot.
Okay.
It was a lot. So, and I, coming off of Spring Awakening fandom, like, went right in.
You were a guilty one, I'm guessing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I, like, didn't love it. I thought it was just okay, but it was when I was pretentious, because I was, like, a sophomore in college. And I was just like, I don't know about this. The storytelling was weird. Like,
when you get pretentious, you sound like Katharine Hepburn.
Yes.
I don't know about this American Idiot. These Green Day kids, I don't know what they're doing.
He read a letter, but from yesterday, I don't know. There's
and then he
weird...
burned it or something. I'm confused.
He did, I think. There was.
I would rather go see the Jersey Boys again.
Yeah. Well, then I saw the Encores production of Anyone Can Whistle that night, which is a completely different show, and I liked it better.
Okay.
But then I saw the national tour of American Idiot, and I loved it. So I think I was just a pretentious idiot when I was 20.
Okay. We've all been
and
there.
And then when I was 25, I was like, oh, no, this is fine.
I hated Kill Bill the first time I saw it.
You're
really?
The worst.
That movie changed my life.
Tarantino Corner.
No, we can't.
Yeah, no. Okay, I hated Moulin Rouge the first time I saw it. Which is technically a jukebox musical, I guess. Yeah.
I thought it was okay. It was overwhelming. My dad hates it.
You went and saw Moulin Rouge with your father?
No, he watched it on TV. I watched it later.
After
and I was like,
everything I've
fine.
Heard about your dad, the fact that he even like knows turned it on.
I saw Moulin Rouge 5 times in the movie theaters.
Okay.
Came out when I was in 6th grade. Loved every minute.
I imagine your father reads only 2 books.
The Constitution.
The Bible.
And that's one of them.
And anything by Cormac McCarthy.
Who's that?
He's the guy that wrote No Country for Old Men.
And Blood Meridian. And like really hyper-violent westerns.
He does like hyper-violent westerns. As do I. I don't know if he read that. You're totally right about the Bible part.
Though. Okay. That just feels like, from what... Yeah. I don't know if I'm right.
Up.
That's
you're,
just...
You're right enough.
Okay.
That you just, nailed it in spirit.
That's just the vibe I'm getting, you know?
You ain't wrong.
So jukebox musicals had a bit of a moment in the early 2000s.
Because they made a boatload of cash, the ones that worked.
And then a bunch of them failed in like 2005, like the Beach Boys and the Elvis one.
The bubble burst.
But it looks like they are having a comeback because Beautiful worked.
Yes.
And so then after Beautiful, you got Soul Doctor, Motown, After Midnight, Holler If You Hear Me, On Your Feet.
I'm shocked the Tupac one didn't work.
They didn't market it, like, at all.
There's, honestly, that's a running theme, like...
Recently.
Recently, but the more I'm thinking
with
back to it...
shows or just shows?
Just shows in general.
Yeah.
Like, she was talking about, like, oh, I went and saw... She went, her and Broadway said went and saw The Prom. And she was telling me all about it.
Oh,
I was like,
so good.
I was like, I literally haven't... I haven't heard anything about... I was like, this is in...
Oh, go see The Prom.
This is in previews?
I didn't know it existed until I walked by the marquee. I was like, oh.
Yeah, hadn't seen a sign, hadn't seen nothing.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't afford marketing, how are you feasibly doing a show?
I'm going to just, before we move on to other things, read some jukebox musicals that are about to come. And then just to get your initial feedback on whether you think it'll be good.
I'm so ready.
Tina, the musical.
Tina Turner?
Uh-huh, it's in London right now.
If
sounds hit or miss.
The girl playing Tina Turner is amazing.
Dude,
what?
Huh?
Did you mean that pun?
No. Is that a thing?
Tina Turner, it'll be hit or miss.
Oh,
come on,
no.
Man.
I don't know.
Because the husband.
Because Ike Turner beat the hell out of her.
Oh, I was not thinking that at all. I was like, is that a song?
I was like, oh, cool. Oh, wow. All right.
Oh, God. Yeah. I feel dirty now.
Now I feel bad for being the only one that caught that. I guess I'm
I just meant it sounded like it could be good
fine.
Or bad.
You're our pure, pure, beautiful Broadway baby.
I'm innocent, and I just walked into an oncoming train.
Adrienne Warren is doing Tina Turner in London, and she is brilliant. Okay. She was in Shuffle Along.
If they go there and they do the thing,
yeah,
I think that could be awesome.
Because that's a compelling story.
And also, that Proud Mary will bring the house down.
If done
it's getting
properly.
I would go just for that.
Yep.
All right, Jagged Little Pill.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
I'm in.
The Cher Show.
Cher shitting on that one.
Yes.
Yeah, if Cher's not in, then I'm not in.
If I could get a free ticket to that, I'm there in a heartbeat. I would not pay for it. It's a morbid curiosity watch for me.
Fair.
Yeah.
Jukebox Hero.
Although, if it is bad, I want to be a theater reviewer. and just because the tagline, oh, if I could turn back time, I wouldn't go to this show. Like, that's just good.
Yeah.
Like
that's just...
Jukebox Hero.
What's that?
The song's a foreigner.
No thanks.
Who sang Jukebox Hero?
Hard pass.
I'm good without that.
Hard pass. No thanks.
Clueless the Musical, which is popular songs from the 90s.
Okay.
But it is Clueless.
I'm in on that.
They have changed some of the lyrics in the songs.
Uh-uh. Then I'm out.
Okay. All Out of Love, the Musical.
Air supply? Oh.
An air supply? I'm
so lost without
Fuck
you.
Fuck no.
Wait, really?
Uh-huh. It's on the list.
That's like, hey, I'm out of Ambien. I need to sleep.
Here's the thing.
I broke you. We broke Jay.
Here's the thing. If any of these is going to be like the one that comes out of nowhere and is really good.
It's going to be Air Supply.
It's the Air Supply Musical. Do you know what I mean? Like that.
What if it's like punk rock as hell?
But yeah, what if it's
and like, the songs are like contrasting.
What if it's like really good? Also, what if, like, good or bad?
A big slice of pie.
Good or bad?
I'm a growing Broadway baby.
The Air Supply Musical is like three people's whole life right now. You know what I mean?
Like there might be a puppeteer.
More than that, probably.
There is a really intense email chain.
Should I read the Wikipedia article?
Yes, you should. Yes.
Okay. The musical made its world premiere, The Resorts World Manila, in the Philippines.
What?
Yep.
What? Guys, we are
getting... It's been extended.
Guys, we are getting into opening night of this show. We are going. I'm calling it now.
It is set in 1980s New York City.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh, premise. Let's go.
Premise.
In 1980s New York City, Jamie Crimson, a rock star at the peak of his career... is about to embark on a world tour to promote his second album.
Excellent.
When he suffers an emotional breakdown.
Oh, yes, he does.
From having to split from his girlfriend, Rain.
Oh, of course her name's Rain.
Is her last name some other weather pun?
I don't know.
Rain Fall Down or something?
This breakdown causes a rift between him and his producer, Tommy King.
Oh, Tommy King.
To the point where he threatens to leave the music industry.
Oh, no.
Tommy's daughter, Stacy, fresh out of graduating from Harvard Business
School. Of course she went to Harvard.
Decides to save Jamie's career.
Well, the Crimsons.
And love life by helping him reunite with Rain. Meanwhile, rival producer, Kurt Swinghammer, decides to take advantage of Tommy's stress disorder by proposing to buy out his record label.
Yeah.
There's so much happening.
I forgot one that's not on the Wikipedia page. The Huey Lewis musical that was just in San Diego. Or San Francisco. I forget.
I'm just saying, if that moves to Broadway, we are going to opening night.
Okay.
Twitter, get on it.
We're going to live tweet the shit
out of that.
And
then the last one that is getting good buzz out of town is Ain't Too Proud, the Temptations musical.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah, that it feels like Jersey Boys.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like Jersey Boys.
That's being jukebox musicals. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, and you know what? They're here to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No matter what you do. You want to cut me a piece of pie?
Yeah, okay.
Just a little baby one.
Yeah, I just wanted a little baby one as well.
All right, did Baby Meet World at all? Well, you saw Head Over Heels.
Yeah.
Anything else?
What did you think?
So Baby Meet World, so if you're listening to this, the November elections have passed. Mm-hmm. They're tomorrow. I did text banking all weekend, which is like phone banking, but via text.
Oh, and I got some of those.
Oh, boy. I got some death threats in about 3 minutes.
Cool.
Notice only from Republicans.
You don't text from your phone though, right?
No, it's through an independent site, so they can't trace you. Thankfully. But so I put on Twitter, I was like, hey, I've been text banking from the ACLU all week. And whenever I get texted mean shit, I blast Sarah Bareilles as brave. And she gave it a favorite.
Aww.
And the time when she did it made me happy because I was up late Saturday night. I'd been doing it all day. And I was just gone, and I was just scrolling Twitter like, are we gonna win this thing? Oh my god. But and then she favored it. I'm like, oh, she's panic looking at Twitter too.
Yep. Aren't we all?
All right, what are we doing?
We are talking about Waitress.
Waitress.
So
order up.
Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your experience with this show. What it brought you to, what brought you to it.
Okay.
Just start, give us the lowdown.
So, I found Waitress, it was maybe the fifth or sixth show I got interested in. Like, I'd listened to some stuff on Spotify. Mm-hmm. Then I started to see the posters around.
Sure.
Because Jason Mraz and Sarah Bareilles were going to star in it. And my friend Mallory said, hey, I've always kind of wanted to date Jason Mraz. Do you want to go see him in this thing? And I was like, sure. And I listened to some of it, and I was like, oh, this is quite good. And then I saw it, and I fell in love, y'all.
Aw.
It was really, really good. I know that a lot of people don't love this show as much as I do, and I don't quite know what it is about it, but I'm all... Like, I listened to it all week, mm-hmm. and I was like, is part of this just nostalgia that it was, like, an early thing I found, and then it was the first show I saw as my, like, you know, I'm going to get into Broadway again. I spent the week just dancing and weeping.
No, it's, so no, it is... It is a good show. You are not wrong. You are not wrong for having that response. There are enough people out there that agree with you that mm-hmm. very clearly there is something about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the heart of Waitress, there is something truly magical and truly pure. I have other thoughts, but I'll come
to I was like, where's the bad news coming?
The butt is coming, but we'll get there. Okay. And so this was, you saw the show coming off of you, like, getting into Hamilton and realizing the musicals were cool again.
Yes.
Cool in loose terms. Cool in, yeah. You know.
They've always been cool.
Yeah, but again. But again.
If you're in the know.
Cool in loose terms.
Well, yeah. It was like, hey, I love Hamilton, but I don't have $1 billion.
Yeah.
And had you seen the movie?
I saw the movie a couple of months ago.
But so after the movie. Or after the musical.
Long after, yeah.
Okay. I saw the movie right when it came out because I was a Felicity fan.
Okay.
And it starred Keri Russell.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie?
I haven't seen the movie, no.
It's pretty good.
I am a Keri Russell fan, though.
Mainly
her performance in Mission Impossible 3.
The movie?
She's in the very beginning, and there's a bomb in her brain, and it goes off, and her eyes just go, like, cross in, like, a weird, awkward way, and it's like, oh, she's dead!
That's like a Saw movie.
Yeah, it was really funny. It's like,
it's
really
bomb outside.
I was like, they really killed Felicity. They really killed
like,
her.
Like, a lot.
Yeah, they, like...
How long was her hair at the time?
It was long. She had long hair at that
oh,
point.
Oh, before
And she had straightened it, too, because she was in a spy movie. Anyways, you were saying, sorry.
I feel the movie Waitress has the most 2006 thing that's ever happened.
What?
Which is, there's a scene where she leaves after just having sex with her doctor, and she's got this glazed look on her face, and Cake's short skirt long jacket happens.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's a montage of her, like, you know, at work and at home, but she's got the same glazed look on her face at every scene. I'm like, it's a different time for movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Long jacket.
I love that song.
It's a great song.
Bang.
I want a girl who makes pies with diamonds. That would be painful.
Yeah, ow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jay and I saw Waitress with the original cast. Yeah?
No.
Yeah. Almost all the original cast. So Jesse Mueller and Drew Gehling were still there. Kimiko had left. Keala Settle had left. And whoever played her husband had left. I had a really bad cold when we saw it, and so I don't know if that affected my not being able to understand a lot of the lyrics.
Okay. I was right as rain. I couldn't understand a word Jesse Mueller said.
Huh.
Yeah. So here's my one gripe. My main gripe with Waitress
is your little gripes, new segment.
Little gripes. Sarah Bareilles wrote a score that she could sing
mm-hmm.
in concert.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Whoever plays that role has to sing that 8 times a week.
Gotcha.
And it's just, it's hard. It does not sit in a typical musical theater voice.
Yeah.
Easily.
I always think about Waitress as like, oh, it's her best album. But it feels like one of her albums with a story.
Yes, and so she released it as such. Yeah. Like, she released an album of her singing everything.
Oh, I've listened to it.
Yes. And she sounds great.
Oh, don't you think I haven't?
But she has had her entire life
yes.
to figure out how to sing like that and also be heard.
Yes.
Or not care if you're heard because there's no plot of a concert. But when the plot is moving, it did take me a while. Like, I didn't realize that Dr. Pomodoro was married till like, the very end. I was
really?
Like, wait, he has a wedding ring on. When did they say that?
Hmm.
Like, I missed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I did too. I can't remember. It's kind of a pleasant blur when I saw it. I was a little far away and not wearing my glasses, so I was like, okay, that's dancing.
I think what I was saying earlier, I think the show has a very strong heart and a very strong creative force to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Sarah Bareilles' first show.
Yeah.
And she got a production team that was like, we're going to get this show to Broadway, but we're going to have to make all of these, we're going to have to make the changes that we think we're going to need to. Okay. And if you want to get, you want us to get this show to Broadway, you're going to listen to us. And she went, okay.
Okay.
That's why I'm far more interested in whatever she does next, because she will have far more creative control over mm-hmm. it. I think Waitress as a whole, what Baking can do may have been one of the best songs of the season.
Oh yeah. It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
And mm-hmm. like, and that was this, and that was when also that in season included Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like there are certain musical aspects of Waitress that go toe to toe with Hamilton.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Totally.
It should be known that it didn't win a single Tony because it was the same season as Hamilton.
Yes, mm. Hamilton ran. It was
the Hamilton Awards.
It was the Return of the King Oscars. It was. Yeah,
but the King was King George III.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was Peter Jackson's year that year at the Tonys. It was. yep. It was. There was no getting away from it. But there are so many tropes. Like musical theater tropes that got kind of ham-fisted into that
like
show.
What? Yeah, like what? Because I'm curious if maybe I would understand
the nerd character.
Yeah.
If they were going to rewrite anything about Waitress.
Is the guy movie, who doesn't understand consent?
Is that like, yeah, that character's kind of problematic.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I have opinions about Ogie.
So he won, Christopher Fitzgerald won the Drama Desk and the Outer Critics. Because if you'll remember the loophole of Hamilton is that they weren't eligible for anything
because they
won everything the year before off Broadway.
Okay.
To be fair, he was very funny.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Oh, he's always very funny.
But that song is creepy. That song is not.
It's not okay.
There's a lot of songs in that show that were clearly added in at a different time.
Well, the whole plot is problematic.
Sure, but there are a couple of songs there that just don't fit the rest of the show. And it's very clear that it was just like, we need a comedic song right here that fits this trope.
Okay.
And please write this song.
I Love You Like a Table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that song a lot, but I totally get why that would trigger that fear.
But then there's like, you know, but you have songs like What Baking Can Do. You have songs...
Bad Idea.
Oh, that so are good. Just like, that are like, oh, this is a new theatrical voice.
Yes.
And then there are certain aspects of the show that completely took me out of it.
Okay, because it felt like a little too tropey. It's like, oh, this is an older theatrical voice talking.
I'm like, oh, okay. I guess they're ham-fisting
this
in.
It was like an old format with new songs.
Yes. Okay.
With new songs and a new kind of story to tell, but still like very much staying in the lane of this is how musicals go.
I don't know how this show was written to begin with, but I feel when you watch all of the musical arrangements and the lyrics to all of the pie recipes,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
they're a little free flowing. They're a little non-linear.
Yeah,
they're constructed
in a way.
Yeah, and that was rad.
Mm-hmm.
But then. And I was like, this is the heart of the show.
Yeah.
And yet, like, the bones of the show did not support...
Sometimes,
like,
yeah.
That imaginary, like, or that creative weight just, like, fell through the bottom of the structure of the show. That is the most highfalutin and uh-huh. pretentious review of Waitress ever. Sorry, I just, like, as I was talking, I was like, wow. I was like, I can be really pretentious sometimes. But
if you recall our first interaction talking about Waitress when I had seen it, because I knew you had seen it, I was like, I saw Waitress. What did you think, Jay? And he's like, oh, well, she kind of writes syllables that don't quite sound right coming out of other people's mouths. It was okay. What'd you think? I was like, there was singing and dancing. I love it.
This
it's amazing
why,
what Bacon can do.
And that's why I have to manage the way I talk around you because
it was like I was giving a child's book report on where.
Yes, and I'm like, well, the itsy bitsy spider. I mean, if you really look at what they're actually talking
about,
it's
totally problematic.
Oh, it's all about the proletariat, and quite frankly, I think it's inappropriate for children.
Well, that's why this is an interesting conversation, is because Waitress was like your first show that brought you back to a love for it, and you didn't have like parameters of
yes.
which to base
I didn't
any
know the tropes
reference.
Yet.
You also had like no comparison. You had
yes.
nothing to like compare it to, really.
Mm-hmm.
Where Jay and I, having seen like every musical ever
yeah.
and have degrees, we were like, yeah, that was a musical.
Yeah. Now,
you know?
Now the one thing I'll say to that is I've watched a fair amount of movies in my life, so I understand tropes when I see them, just not in every different medium.
Yeah.
So like, I can still see tropes in there, but like not quite the tropes that you guys
yeah.
would see right away. But like
yeah.
when I watch the movie, I'm like, that should go. Why is that there? You know, I
sure
sort
sure.
of half trope blind.
Sure.
I'm a growing Broadway baby. I'm trying to learn.
No, absolutely. I think it is a show that like I get why people love it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not one of those people.
I know, and I think it's easier for people to be like, that kind of movie isn't for me, than to be like, that kind of musical isn't for me.
Okay.
Because people outside of our little musical theater bubble don't understand that there are different kinds
yeah.
of musicals.
Like,
huh.
like the band's visit wasn't really for me,
mm-hmm.
but like, that kind of indie movie isn't for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like,
it's a genre choice thing.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm aware that people who love indie movies and love these smaller, more insular musicals would love this. Not my thing.
Yeah.
And Waitress was weirdly on the verge of like an indie kind of, it's an indie story.
Yes.
But then it's this big,
mm-hmm.
this big score. Like
yeah.
it's a hard sing,
it's a
but it's
of,
a small, and well, it's a hard act. Like it's,
yeah, I could,
it's
happening.
Tricky.
I could feel it wanting to go weirder than it was going.
Yeah.
And I think that's
okay.
where it kind of, that's where the dissonance.
Mm-hmm. Like you said in the movie, how she, it's that freeze frame on her, it's the same look, but it's a
yeah.
montage of her going through that.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of play off of that in like when people are handing her the pies and the pies are around her face. And
I
like,
love
yeah.
that stuff.
Just the idea of like, she's just kind of going through life with the same
yeah.
glaze and not really like, I don't know.
Because the thing I know, one of the reasons why I really like that they open up with just what her pie imagination looks like
mm-hmm.
is because it sets up a few things at once. One, it sets up that she's a nice person. She just wants to make her pies and be happy and not bother anybody.
Yes.
And two, it shows that she's got this creativity about her and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And three, it shows that she is essentially using her greatest skill to distract herself.
Yep.
She's kind of like the way they talk about writing in Hamilton. Is,
oh, sure.
is the way she makes pies. Like, yeah, Hamilton's an amazing writer. He's also going to write himself off a cliff and it's a problem. Like, you should stop him at a certain point.
Yeah,
you know?
He's also writing because
yeah.
he's running from something.
I,
yes.
I get
she's baking
because
she's running
from
something.
How do you pie like you're running out of time?
Yeah.
How do you pie like you're running out of time?
I get it. I mean, it's like, I'm such a good skateboarder, you know? And it's like,
uh-huh.
and it's
here
like,
I am doing everything I can.
Yeah, and I'm just like doing...
what?
No, nothing. I was just about to go on a stupid tangent, and then he just sang a goal. It's
the Tony Hawk.
It's
thing.
From the original Tony Hawk game. The first. Oh man.
Here all, I am doing everything I can. We're all very tired
when
for
is,
different reasons.
When is the,
I hadn't
no.
mentioned that.
When are we getting the Goldfinger jukebox musical, man?
I don't know what that is.
Boom 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 boom. Oh man. Oh, bye tangent, goodbye, you were going to be so funny, I was going to go do some goofs and gifts, and
oh,
now you're gone.
Did I ruin you with...
No, I think it was great. I completely forgot what we were talking about, now I can think about it.
Oh, you're talking about Waitress.
Oh, yeah.
Are
oh,
you
yeah.
Tony Hawk likes
see...
pies.
Oh, yeah, Plays with Music, that's what we're here to talk about.
Plays with Music. I had written down some talking points, just movie versus
yeah.
the play, but you haven't seen the movie,
there are
I haven't seen it in... quite some time. The main difference I recall while watching is I remember thinking that Carrie Russell just read a little bit younger
mm-hmm.
than I think how the musical portrays her.
Yeah,
I wasn't quite sure how old she's supposed
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, I think like in the movie she's like late 20s, but everyone who's gone into it is early 30s, and it's a difference.
A little bit.
And then also Nathan Fillion was the doctor
yes.
in the movie,
who is
a much burlier man
mm-hmm.
and like a little gruffer and a little sexier, one might say.
Damn, Jim.
I know. I said that looking straight into your eyes.
How dare you? Drew Gayling.
And then Drew Gayling.
So handsome.
Is like, so charming. When I saw the casting, I was like, oh, just kind of like a little skinny dude.
He was.
And then he was the best part of the show.
He was the best part of the show. You bite your tongue.
Heard.
Don't you?
He's the best part of the show.
Don't you disparage
him? I think
him.
About him all the time.
He lives in our neighborhood. And I see him sometimes. And I've always just wanted to tell him how good he was, but I'm too embarrassed.
Because he's just so charismatic. Like, yeah. There's something about him where I'm just like, yeah, I would have done that too. I wouldn't have because you don't beat me.
Yeah, you know. You're never allowed to go to the doctor. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Kimberly is not allowed to go to the doctor because I am a jealous husband.
And because my doctor is Drew Gayling.
He's a very talented man.
He's got a lot going on.
I want to tell you something.
Amateur skateboarder?
I'm not allowed
Here I am.
To be fair, I'm not allowed to go to... Drew Gayling is my doctor, and I'm not allowed to go there either.
I know. We're both very ill.
Yeah, we're both very ill.
Our teeth are falling out.
He's just too handsome.
Just decay all of both your bodies.
Oh, man.
Yeah, my skin's falling off.
That tall
know.
Drink of skinny water. I just can't get him away. Oh, well, I'll be the Ernie to your Bert. And that, you know what? That tracks now.
Ooh, you'd be good at... Oh, you two should be friends. Okay.
How's the rest of this pie?
Yes.
Oh, I'm done.
Do you have anything else to say about how much you love Waitress? Should we go Little Loves?
Let me see.
Do you have any Big Loves? Any little gripes?
I don't have any little... I have a couple little gripes.
Yes.
Throwing it down now. So, parts of this story do not entirely work, and that is based on flaws in the original script, because I've always felt they just sort of get together because they have to. It just sort of happens, and it feels really forced. Once they get together, they're quite sweet and charming together, but just them making out in the doctor's office, I was like, I don't buy that at all. But then I just go, whatever, and then the way they play the rest of it is quite good.
Sure.
Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, I watched the movie, it's the same problem.
Yeah, it maybe works better in the show because it's already like kind of a heightened reality because it's a musical.
Totally, it works
and
better
and you buy
in the
into
show.
Things a little quicker.
Yeah, and also the songs kind of, they go through that arc. It feels more gradual, at least in terms of like, oh, this is how Broadway shows are supposed to progress.
Yes.
So like the song, you know, you can fall in love by the end of a song and that's not weird.
Yes.
So it makes more sense when by the end of Bad Idea, okay, we're doing this now.
Yeah.
Because that's just what happens.
Then just like in the movie where there's like, okay.
Yeah. Sure. Let me see. And my biggest gripe about this is how did Ogie make it into the final show? He's
so...
It's Ogie. O-G-I-E. Because, and he's from the movie. It's the same way. But what blows my mind is there was a movie written and directed by a woman. This character shows up and he refuses to understand that this woman is not into him and then she just is. And it's really upsetting because I feel like they could have easily worked in a line where he just goes, oh my God, I'm sorry, I've been disrespecting you. Please let me start over. That would have been easy to just show him learning a lesson and they don't. And I'm like, one sentence and this would be so much less creepy. I don't know, the rest of the stuff is positive and about pie. So.
Well, then get into the positives.
Okay.
Want me and Jay to like sit here and tell you you're wrong to like this show. We do like it.
I don't hate it.
We like it.
I feel this show captures the feeling of being in a rut extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I love this sort of does the same thing as Dear Evan Hansen, where it's got little one sentence means two different things. Like opening up, obviously, is opening the restaurant and opening our hearts to the viewer. And order up is order up in the restaurant, but also we are accustomed to this pattern and we're all unhappy, but we don't know how to stop.
Oh.
Take it from an old man, as in take, you know, my encouragement, but also then he, spoiler alert, dies and gives her all that money.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some more. You Will Still Be Mine, because it shows that their relationship started out all cute and then he turned up the controlling.
Mm.
And then became an
abusive.
That's
the creepiest song.
Yeah.
Is he played that
it's
song.
It's so sad.
And I was just like,
he's
who listens to that song and is like, yeah, let's get married.
Apparently,
like if
Jenna
you
Hunterson.
Sang me that song, I mean, I get it at 16 where it's just like, oh, I'll always be his, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But like, if you sang me that song, I would just be like, you are a creepy stalker who learned how to play 5 chords on the guitar so you could control me into marrying you.
Ogie,
get
is
away.
That you?
He's like an evil bard. He's casting a musical spell.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
but also you'll always be mine. You took you became still Kimberly Schmidt to be my wife, so you'll pretty much do whatever you want, whatever I want you to. So
be mine.
It's not true. Little loves, big loves.
Let's see.
I've already
do
said
you have anything? What was your little love?
My little loves.
Yeah, let's just do little loves.
My little loves. Well, my little gripes. I think I've already said three of them. Opening up is maybe one of my favorite opening numbers of all time. That's a that
so
song.
So good.
That song bangs. It sets up the show right. That indicated to me that this is a show that knows exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And it's all exposition.
Yeah.
But really cleverly.
It's exposition in a way that I don't feel like I'm being fed.
Yeah.
Like, I just really, really love the opening number of the show. It's just executed properly. It was just charming. And I also love that song. And the way that the voices are orchestrated and the way it all like hums together, it's just a really, really, really good opening.
And that opening does a really good job of plot information, but also it shows you they're in these ruts, but like it's kind of fun and like, oh,
it's just dated.
And then they turn up the sad dial real hard by the end and you're like, oh.
There's
well, that's
being
what's
in
there.
Yeah, but there's being in a rut, and then there's just like just going to work and doing your job.
Well, but they're all in ruts
for
personally.
Sure. For sure. But like there's, you know, it's also partially how you look at it sometimes. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, we're just in this little town and it kind of sucks. But like we're making the best of it.
Like Kiel Settle's song.
Yeah.
And she's just like, yeah, don't judge me. This is just what I'm doing.
It's like, hey.
So that's one of my little loves. My little loves is just first part of this little love is all of the pie stuff is just excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All of the ingredients, all of the way it's staged, the way it's lit, it showed me what the show could have been, and that's why I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of esoteric, and also the B part of this little love is I think Sugar Butter Flower is weirdly like the best thing to come out of this 2000s.
Wait till the outro.
I just love that was just so
I
small.
I love the day that I
I'm
taught
so charming.
Was it you and Kevin? Like someone was talking about, like, I wonder why they said sugar, butter, and flour. And I was like, because that's what's in pie crust.
And that blew my I was like, that's really all it is?
You're
like,
and water.
Yeah, and I was like, huh.
Sugar, butter, flour.
I was like,
not
that's,
even, you don't always need
but that's
sugar.
Why it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all it is.
And that's all she wants. She
and
just wants to make her pies and be
it's
not
the basis
abused.
Of any
I
pastry.
Just really, I just am so charmed by that three-word little, and it comes up in a way, it's like, it's.
Every time I bake.
It's reprised in ways that.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
And that it's really satisfying. And it also, it just has that has become a part of our day to day as like a couple.
Has it really? Parents.
Well, I bake a lot.
She bakes a lot, and every time she's baking, it's always sugar butter.
And a lot of times, if I'm baking, Clowns. I listen to the Waitress soundtrack.
Yeah,
I listen to the Waitress
fun.
Cast
it is
album.
Fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was actually my third little love was that, mm-hmm. that you put on Waitress when you bake. And I think it's really cute.
Yeah.
I do that too.
My little loves is when we put on during the Waitress Cast album times. Sometimes we'll just put Bad Idea on repeat and dance and sing to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good song.
It bangs, man.
So good.
That song bangs.
And the reprise dope too.
It's really good.
What baking can do if it catches me in the right moment, I'd cry and cry and cry.
Oh, would you like to know when baby cried?
Oh, yeah. Well, baking the whole time.
Yeah. When didn't baby cry is a better question.
Yeah.
When Augie's on stage.
Specifically, at the end when she says to her baby, we were both born today.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, and I'm like, oh, I'm on the train. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, let's be real.
There's
a few
of those.
The reason we have the segment, When Did Baby Cry, was because of this show in particular for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you texted me like, hey, I just saw Waitress and I cried for an hour and a half. I was like, ah, cool, man. I was like.
You're like, are we good enough friends that you could send
me
this message?
No, I thought, was like, I was your one musical theater person.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yeah, man, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
And I was like, oh, my makeup's running.
I was going to say, Oh, we were talking the other day about crying just like for the sheer fact that there are people on a stage doing a thing.
Yep.
And when I saw The Prom, fully cried during the opening number. The opening number is hilarious. Yeah. But I the whole time was like, they're doing it. It's theater.
You and I you and I were destined to be friends. Yes. We just didn't know it until we both met Jay.
Oh, and my best little love, because it is so little, is just the transition from What's Inside to Open It Up.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just like, what's inside?
Gianna.
What a mess I'm making. And then it, she's a mess.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I make mess when I'm baking too, but also you're in a mess, honey.
Certainly is.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Okay. Anyone else?
I love What Baking Can Do is one of my favorite songs ever. Specifically, I believe it is one of the best songs about denial ever written.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love how it's the chord progression goes. Like there's a key change between the verses and the chorus. I love if you replace pies with jokes. Like that's my inner monologue for a lot of my life. When we open up, we already covered that.
Set up. Punchline, laugh.
Also,
that's cute. You're cute.
I try.
I already said the thing about the pies. Oh, I was, and as I said, this show, if I'm listening to it in public, I am gambling with my reputation. Because, like, I was in the grocery store, and I was when He Sees Me came on, she goes, sure. I'm scared of breaking open. I was like, oh, I didn't eat ice cream until now.
Yeah. I got caught sideways by a parade.
Really?
At the grocery store.
Parade?
What's up?
When were you listening to Parade?
This was a couple weeks ago. It's the old Red Hills of Home. It gets me every time. It's like, I would gladly give my good right leg again. And then everyone swings in, again. And it's just like, I know he's singing about the Confederacy, but it's just, but they all mean it. And I'm just like.
We're in a troubled time
and
in America
I'm just
right now.
In the bread aisle, like, just cool, pumpernickel. Yeah, I'm going to look at this and just put my face in it for a second.
Red Shield.
Oh my god. I just love how he says leg. My good right leg again.
Because you know, because. Yeah, because you can feel when, in the recording, we will do, like, you can feel everyone standing on stage and it's like, they're all there and they're probably holding flags.
Happy Memorial Day, Mr. Frank. Happy Memorial Day, Frank. We'll do Parade one day.
Yes. We'll do Parade.
So good.
We'll do Parade when they revive Parade.
Revive Parade.
Hashtag Revive Parade.
I have one more little love, but I forgot what it was.
Only had 100 performances.
That's such a bummer. It's his best show.
It really is. It's his first show.
Is that the guy that did the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Yes.
And last 5 years. Good. And last 5 years, like, won't die. And yet, we did not get a parade.
Well, it bends space and time. Of course it survives.
And it's only two people. It's the cheapest show to do ever.
I bet.
And it was our third date.
Was our third date, and Betsy Wolf was truly, truly magnificent.
Mm, so Adam Cantor. Okay,
and my
else?
Last level little love is so I went to this with my friend Mallory, and a couple weeks later I was listening to the soundtrack, and she's like, "Hey, what are you doing today?" I was like, "Oh, well, I meant to go to the gym, but then I went to the gym and no one was there, so I started singing Waitress, and then I started crying. Luckily, no one was there because I got into She Used to Be Mine, and it was just like blam." And she goes, You're the most sensitive boy, aren't you? And so she goes, if you ever make it as a comic and you have a Netflix special, it's going to be called Alex Fasella, the most sensitive boy.
The most sensitive boy.
And that's how I earned my mantle.
Do you know what my first album's going to be called?
I'm bad at transitions. I have an opinion. I believe your album should be called How Dare You? Because okay. That's something that you just punctuate things
he
with.
He says that a lot.
Yeah.
What will it be called?
It will be called Jay Schmidt Talking for an Hour.
Why?
Because that's what it is.
Do you want to explain?
Do you want to know why it's going to be called that? Because Kimberly and I were at the bar a couple nights ago, and we were talking.
Kimberly looks thrilled.
We were talking about how, my weekly show just died. And I was like, Last Laugh is no more, which is a bummer, but it's fine. It was time. But I was like, okay, like, I can start working. I need to start working on material again, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I think I want to record an hour and maybe just, like, actually, like, record it, like, make an album. And Kimberly was like, really?
I didn't.
And I was
see
like,
that.
You don't. I was like, you don't think.
I no. It was worse than that. I said, do you have an hour?
Oh shit.
She said, yeah. Well, I was getting there.
Okay.
She says, do you have an hour? And I go, I have an hour. And she looks at me all cockeyed and goes, oh, I believe that you can talk for an hour.
I do.
And then I spite wrote down my hour, and she was like, oh, yeah, I guess you could do that. That would be an hour.
We have a loving, happy marriage.
We really do. It's yeah. really the only time we fight is when Alex is here.
Having a Broadway baby puts strain on a relationship.
Yeah, you have no
it
idea.
Just does.
You have no it idea, really Alex.
It's a hard decision and a commitment to make.
All right. Any final thoughts on Waitress?
I think I'm
Does
good.
Harold have an activity?
Harold needs to get out before I Sweeney Todd him into a fanciful pie.
Well,
I have feelings.
Forceful.
I'm trying to cry, Harold.
Yeah.
Oh, but also a phone went off when I watched this. Did I tell you that?
No.
No.
So when I saw this, and it was just getting to be the big moment where she sings to her baby the first time, which
oh,
is
God.
The everything changes. And as she's looking like, my baby. Behind me, somebody's Hamilton ringtone went off.
Oh, no.
And it was so amusing that no one was really mad.
That's actually pretty funny.
It was more charming.
But that's some like Jetsons Sharks type stuff.
It kind of was. Did you say Jetsons Sharks? Oh no, Jetsons.
No, Jets and Sharks.
I was like,
hello, it's me, Jetsons Shark.
Here I am, doing everything I can.
Here I am. I'm here. Yes, it's me, Jetsons Shark. Here I am, down at the park, doing everything I can, doing everything, holding on to what I am, because I'm a Superman. Back to you, Carl. All right.
Okay.
I think we need to wrap this one up.
I need
Harold,
to go
get
to
out.
Sleep. Harold, leave. Is everyone
Take
bored?
Us out.
Okay. For this outro, I'm going to need y'all's help, because this is going to be a little elaborate.
Oh.
Okay. So, Jay, when I point to you...
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
You have to say, Broadway. And when I point to you, you have to say,
baby.
Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Broadway.
Baby.
I didn't point, but okay.
Broadway.
Baby.
Broadway.
Baby.
Pod.
Broadway.
Baby.
Pod. My hands pluck the things I know that I'll need. I take the mics and the cables from Kimberly. I add the J. Schmidt to begin what I am hoping to start. And then it's down with GarageBand and joke from the heart. What's inside? All the listeners want to know what's inside. And I always tweet them that I thought musicals were lame. That's really what's inside. Turned out I liked them when I was turning 30. Now my whole life is in here. I'm the Broadway baby. So send us money, baby.
And we're gone. Me and Kimberly have already left.
Yeah.
Just cut to Alex sitting alone in her apartment.
Goodbye.
Download. Subscribe.
In this kitchen baking. What a mess I'm making.
And our homework for next week is the one J. Schmidt's very favorite musical movie.
We're doing Willy Wonka, yo. The Gene Wilder one. The movie.
And it shows no signs of snowing.
We said good day.
Okay.